الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. وقال تعالى: يوم هم بارزون لا يخفى على الله منهم شيء لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد القهار. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن عظم الجزاء ما عظم البلاء، وإن الله تعالى إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم، فمن رضي فله الرضا ومن سخط فله السخط، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic for today is the topic that is burning in the hearts and minds of each one of us, the topic of Al-Aqsa and Palestine. This is the topic that wallah has moved, I think, all of us to tears over and over again, to see what is happening in that part of the world, in that blessed and mubarak land. I have, and I want to share different thoughts that I have on different various aspects on this topic. If it is correct, then it is from Allah. And if I err in it, then it is from myself and my shaitan, and from shaitan. And I also acknowledge, and I think it is important that we do so, that I have two ustads of mine sitting on my right, Advocate Wahid, and my left, Brother Harun Karodia. These are both my ustads. I have learned a lot from them, and they have been great source of benefit and inspiration to the Jamiat of Ulama KZN and all the ulama there. Nonetheless, when it comes to the topic of Palestine, you know, there are some amazing things that we hear, that at some times even people take exception to us or to the focus on Palestine at the moment. Yes, we know that there are other parts in the world where Muslims are suffering. In Yemen, in China, in India, in Afghanistan, in Syria. There are many places in the world where Muslims are suffering. But this is now what is staring us, what is in front of our faces at the moment. And if we are dedicating more time to the topic of Al-Aqsa and Palestine, it does not mean that we are indifferent to the suffering of the Muslims that are taking place around the world. You know, I think that one of the major reasons why it is so difficult for us to find strength as an ummah, and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of this as one of the corruptions that will occur in the ummah. And he said, وَإِعْجَابُ كُلُّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ, that the time will come when every person who has a voice and who has an opinion will believe my opinion is right to the exception and exclusion of any other opinion. That only what I have to say on the matter is the right thing. You know, in the hadith, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he describes this ummah, what he says, al-mu'min lil-mu'min kal-bunyan. He says, the believer for his brother, for his fellow believer, is like a building. يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. Each part strengthens the other part. And the Nabi of Allah put his interlocked fingers. It's like when you build a home, then you put a brick down. And on top of that brick, you put another, and another, and another, and the whole building is built. But what is happening, unfortunately, from some quarters, is that when one person puts a brick down, then we do not want to build on his brick, then we want to remove his brick and put our brick on top. It is as though that we, some people, have built an altar of sacrifice on which the opinion of every other person must be slaughtered, so that my opinion is the only valid and the only right opinion. This is not how how unity is achieved in this ummah. This is not how strength is built in this ummah. (Clears throat) When we speak about Masjid al-Aqsa, then we do not have to enumerate its virtues. The virtues of visiting al-Aqsa, the virtue of donating towards al-Aqsa, the virtue of the salah in al-Aqsa, and the du'as of Sulaiman alayhi salam to those who have prayed and performed salah in al-Aqsa. These we know. The messages are going around. Ahadiths are going around. We are informed about this. But my focus rather is on how should we view the tragedy, the violence being afflicted upon our brothers and sisters. How should we view this? How should we respond to this? And what can we do about it? The first thing, I think, is our own mental conditioning, which is very important. Because sometimes if the mental conditioning is not done in an appropriate way, then we sometimes give in to despondency and we give in to the loss of hope, and then we start questioning, Mata Nasrullah, when will the help of Allah come? The first thing we must acknowledge is that by and large this world is a cruel place. That is the fact of it. Never forget that. This world is a cruel place. When you look at history, whether it is our Islamic history or whether it is global history, then you will find that the periods where peace, justice and piety reigned, they were relatively short periods compared to the rest of the history of the world. The history of the world by and large is overtaken by greed, corruption and the mighty preying on the weak. That is the history and that is the reality. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ Allah Ta'ala speaks about when Dawood alayhi salam killed Jalut. And then Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضُ If Allah did not use some group of people to check others, some nations to keep other nations in control, لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ Today there is no Muslim nation and no Muslim khilafah to keep anyone in check. So لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ What has happened? Corruption has spread on the earth. That's what has happened. And the Palestinian people, in our recent history, the recent history, I'm talking about the last century, it seems they have to bear the brunt of the world's cruelty. The Balfour Declaration is in 1917. When Britain had made a pledge that in Palestine we will establish a homeland for the Jews. 1917 was when Palestine was conquered and it was taken away from the Ottoman Empire by the British Empire. And from that time, and now it is a century later, more than a century later, and what we find that the Palestinians are still suffering. They are still suffering, they are still undergoing persecution. But something that we marvel at is the amazing spirit of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. It's not just amazing that in spite of such resistance, such oppression, such occupation, that they will still have the courage, the strength and the spirit to stand up in defense of their homeland, in defense of Al-Aqsa. You know, they say the strongest of steel is forged in the hottest of fires. And is that not true with our brothers and sisters in Palestine? Yes. We acknowledge that they are not perfect individuals. They are not 100% on Sirat Mustaqim. But who is? From the Ummah, who is on 100% Sirat Mustaqim and perfect believers and perfect embodiments of the Sunnah? You know, we hear the statement sometimes being made. And you think how audacious a person can be to make a statement of this effect. That what is happening to them is a punishment because of their sins. How dare you make a statement like this? With what tongue do you make a statement like this? Do you have received a divine writ from the heavens that has said who is the ummat marhuma, that who is Allah's mercy upon and who is Allah's azab upon, that you make this statement? You know, in the hadith, mention is made about woman قُتِلَ دُونَ مَالِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ that the person who is killed in defense of his wealth, of his rands and cents, of his gold and silver, of his worldly possessions, the person who is killed in defense of his worldly possessions, فَهُوَ shaheed, he is a martyr. He is a martyr in the court of Allah. Then what is to say about those people whose blood has fallen on the Mubarak precincts of Al-Aqsa? What is to say about those people who have been maimed and shot and killed in defense of Al-Aqsa? You know, when it came to the Ashab-e Badr, the illustrious veterans of the Battle of Badr, so there was an incident that took place prior to Fath Makkah, prior to the conquest of Makkah. And in this incident, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already revealed to Sahaba his plans to conquer Makkah and his plans to get the army mobilized and moving towards Makkah. So before the army was mobilized, one of the companions of Badr, who was concerned about the welfare of his family, because there was no one and no allies for his family who were vulnerable in Makkah, he sent a message to the Quraysh, informing them of the plans of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hope that whatever I will reveal to them will not change what Allah's decision is, but it may afford my family protection when the war is to come. Because we don't know what's going to happen when Makkah is going to be invaded, or rather when Makkah is to be conquered and returned to Islamic ownership. So he sends this, and the Nabi of Allah is informed by revelation, and his message is intercepted before it reached the Quraysh, and it is brought back. And then this Sahabi is called in the court of the Nabi of Allah to explain. So he gives the explanation of why he did this. But when we look at the crime, what it is, this is betrayal. It is treason of the highest, it's military treason of the highest category. In many countries of the world, it still holds the capital punishment that you have betrayed your country, you have betrayed your government, you have betrayed your state. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, دَعْنِي أَضْرِبُ عُنُقَ هَذَا الْمُنَافِقِ. He says, O Allah's Nabi, permit me to strike and behead this munafiq. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا. He has witnessed the battle of Badr. He is a veteran of Badr. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ. And do you not know that Allah has looked upon the veterans of Badr and said, do as you please, I have forgiven all your sins. What is to say? And how do we not know? The ahadith tell us that sometimes a person will do one thing right. Allah will love that action so much that Allah will already decree Jannah for him while he's walking on the earth. How do we know that those people who have shed their blood for Al-Aqsa, what Allah has said for them and what Allah has granted them in regards to the forgiveness of their sins and into the entry of Jannah? How do we know? Our tongues must not be too loose. You know, sometimes it's easy. We find it easy to criticize. We find it easy to condemn the Muslim leaders who have done nothing. And yes, there is a point of condemnation. But we need to be grateful and thankful to Allah that Allah will not ask us on the day of Qiyamah, why do you not mobilize your army and fight? They, the Muslim leaders, they themselves are trembling. This is the reality. The fourth strongest army in the world, backed by the US and the UK and the UN and everyone. And for them to take that stand, they don't have hope that Allah's Nusrat is going to come to them. They don't have that hope. So they themselves are frightened. But it is still their duty. But we should be grateful that our questioning on the day of Qiyamah will not be Why did you not pick up arms and go fight for Al-Aqsa? It will be them who will have to answer for that. What we need to think about, you know, there are certain times, and this is one of those times, when Shaitan increases his attack on the mindset of the believers and starts putting them into doubt and starts making them question that where is Allah's help? Where is Allah's nusra? Why is Allah not there for the believers? And the thing that happens is that we forget that the place of justice is not here in this world. Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not for a single moment imagine and think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors are doing. Not for a moment. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ. Allah is giving them rope. For that day, when the horror will be so much and the terror will be so much, the senses will depart from the body. يَوْمَهُمْ بَارِزُونَ. On that day when they will be presented in Allah's court. لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. Not one crime will be hidden. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Allah will say, for whom is kingdom this day? Who is the king on this day? الْيَوْمَ تُجِزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. Everyone will bear the responsibility and will earn the recompense of what you have done in this world. لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ. No oppression, but justice will be met on that day. And that is something that we forget. And we wonder about oppression and suffering. But we must know that behind every system is Allah's divine system. And Allah knows how He will take care of the believers. The ahadith tell us that on the day of Qiyamah, that man will be brought. That individual will be brought who suffered the most in the world. No one suffered more than him. The most unbearable torture and agony and misery this man suffered from the people of Jannah, from the believers. And Allah will take him and Allah will dip him into Jannah. Hadith says literally Allah will dip him. Like, you know, you dip your finger in water and you remove it. Allah will dip him only in Jannah. He will not eat of Jannah. He will not use any of the bounties of Jannah. He will experience only the atmosphere and the sight of Jannah for 1 second. You know, we speak about people who take drugs to get on a high and forget their difficulties, to remove themselves from their problems. This person will be dipped. The high that he will experience, the joy, jubilation and euphoria he will experience is such that Allah will ask him that, did you suffer anything in the world? And the joy that would have overtaken his mind will be such, he will say, Allah, by your qasam, I don't know what's the meaning of suffering. I don't know what's the meaning of misery and hardship. Such will Allah recompense and reward the believers on that day. I want to end with this incident about what we can do. You know, there is a physical army that attacks, and there is a spiritual army as well. There is an army of the day and there is an army of the night. This incident of Nizamul Mulk, he was one of the chief ministers in the Ottoman Empire. He served as the chief minister of Alab Arsalan, and then he served as the minister of his son, Abul Futuh Malik Sham. And Nizamul Mulk, he was a great alim and scholar in his own right. And he honored the ulama to the highest extent possible. They say from Baytul Maqdis, from Jerusalem, which was part of the Ottoman Empire, until Samarkand, which is Uzbekistan, there was not in that entire region an alim, a student of deen, and any pious person except that he would see that their needs were taken care of, and over and above their needs, he would provide for them. Every alim in this whole area, the amount he would spend from the national treasury every year in this avenue was 600,000 gold coins. 600,000. In our currency, it's over 2 billion. And that was that time we're talking about. So, as happens, someone whispered poison into the ears of the leader, Malik Shah at that time, the Ottoman leader. This man is wasting the money in the public treasury. So he calls him, and he had great respect for him. So he said, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, it has reached me that you are spending money from the public treasury in such a way which gives us no benefit and no help at all. Nizam al-Mulk hears this, he starts crying and sobbing. And he says that, oh my beloved son, if you had to value the two of us, yourself and myself, then I would be of relatively insignificant value in front of me, of you. But let me inform you that from your side, you are engaged in sin and vice, and the majority of what goes up from your side is the disobedience of Allah. Your army that you have prepared, they will defend you with swords that are two arms lengths, and with bows and arrows that the arrow reaches 300 arm lengths, 300 cubits in distance. But with that, they are engaged in sin. They are engaged in drinking. They are engaged in vice. He said, but I have prepared another army for you. I have prepared another army for you. When your army goes to sleep, this army stands up, soffan bayna yaday rabbihim, in sufuf, in front of Allah. When your army sleeps, my army gets up. And that army at that time, they send forth their du'as. They stretch their hands in front of Allah. They make ruku in sajda, and they beg Allah for your protection and the protection of your army. When your archer shoots his arrow, it goes 300 cubits, and when they release the arrows of their dua, it pierces the seven heavens and touches the arsh of Allah. That is the army I have prepared for you. Because of this army, you live in peace. Because of this army, your army is strengthened. And because of this army, it rains and you are given sustenance. And the king cries, and he cries, and he says, Shabash, Ya Abati Shabash. Well done, my father, well done. Increase this army for me. That army, Jundul Layl, the army of the night, every one of us can be part of that army. No restriction. And that's what we have to do. We have to turn, because that is our responsibility. We have to turn to Allah, the Dharru, humbling ourselves in front of Allah, begging Allah for His Nusrat, for the Ummah in Palestine, and from the Ummah that is suffering all across the globe. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.